Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
John 4, go down to verse 27. Let's read the word of the Lord from the New International Version. Let's begin reading the word now. You ready? Just as his disciples returned, they were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, would you say that? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. So a crowd of people's coming towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Father, thank you for what you did in the first service and what you'll do now. Move in great power. May we never be the same. May the effects of this service be far-reaching, even to eternity. May lives be forever altered, because your word that you stand over to see it perform is going forth now. Hide me behind your cross, O God. Move in power now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated after you say hi to like five people and say you better brace yourself. All right, I'm going to come a little closer to you. Somebody asked me, "Pastor, how is it that you guys preach? And do you go line upon line, precept upon precept? Do you do book by book? I mean, how is it that you do your services there at King's?" And we give them this answer, which is coined by our senior global pastor so many years ago. I preach like he does. I pray. But in the same pattern, expository messages with a thematic approach. So starting a brand new series called Vision. Vision. Everybody say vision. The importance of vision. If you don't have vision, you'll have a tendency to drop out of life. It says in Proverbs 29:18, people perish for a lack of vision. It says in the book of Samuel, there was no widespread revelation, and there was no vision, so people had cast off restraint in the day where Samuel became the greatest Old Testament prophet. The word of the Lord wasn't being declared, wasn't being preached, wasn't being demonstrated. I would venture to say that the same is true in the body of Christ today. The same is true in our world today, that people don't have a vision. They don't have an individual vision, certainly don't have a corporate vision. And let me say this, I'll say it again at some point during the message of my preaching. Any vision that doesn't have God at the center of it is not a vision from God. It's your vision. In fact, it might be what is also called a vision. The wish. You can have a demonically inspired vision, or you can have a vision that comes from God. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15, it's this story about the man of God and his servant, and the man of God was so tuned to the word of the Lord that he would tell the king of Israel when the enemies were coming and where they would come. This so frustrated the enemies of God that they decided to put a hit out on the prophet, which is like a spirit of stupid. I mean, the prophet's been saying this is where he's coming, this is what's going to happen, and so they go kill the prophet, like God's not going to protect him. So they surround him at a city called Dothan, 2 Kings 6. And the man of God is sleeping, and the servant gets up, clearly led by the Spirit, to make a cup of French roast for the prophet. It's a joke. He gets up early, and he sees that they're surrounded by the enemies of Israel, and he's panicked. He's in fear, and he says, "Master, oh, what are we going to do?" And the guy's like, "Dude, where's my coffee, for God's sake?" Now he says, "Oh, just relax." He says, "More are with us than are against us." And he says, "Lord, open his eyes." And we have a whole message on that, originally preached so many years ago by Dr. James Morocco. It's a key message for us here at Kings. We move according to vision. We do not move according to fear. We don't move by according to a board. There's deacon-possessed churches. We are not one. We're very clearly, listen, boards are important. I said boards are important. You missed a great place to say amen. We have a board, and it's for accountability and for a sounding board and making decisions on things, but mostly congregational vote about properties. Do you know, if you had voted years ago that we wouldn't get this property, we wouldn't be here, and thousands of people wouldn't be getting touched, and we'd be back, and we'd be still in a barn maybe. So boards are important, but boards don't determine the vision of the church. We're pastorally driven. We're vision-driven church. That's who we are. And I'm so thankful for the leadership of Dr. James Morocco and for his entrusting to us vision here in Alaska. And we will see 10,000. Don't be shocked. We will see 10,000 people a part of this church around the whole state. We will reach the whole state of Alaska for God. Can you say a better amen? Amen. Can you say a louder amen? Amen? And that's just part of the vision we're in. We're in the vision of the 12-1-20. We're pushing over these next years until 2025 is just around the corner to have 1,200 congregations. I heard the current report, 683. Currently, we're one church, many locations. This is one location of 683. Now, this is one of the larger ones, but God's doing great things around the world. Vision. Everybody say vision. Come on, raise a hand to heaven and say, "Lord, open my eyes." So the prophet in 2 Kings 6, he had faith. He could see, but the servant couldn't. He had fear. If you can't see, if you don't have vision, then fear will have a tendency to take you over. But if you can see what God's doing, if you can see that Jesus still walks on the water, Jesus still raises the dead, the power of God is being put on display in every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. If you can have a fresh vision today, if God can give us fresh vision here at Kings, we will go on to fulfill everything that He's called us to. And so help me, God, that is why I'm here. That's why we're here. We will reach the lost. We will see Alaska saved. Alaska, hear the word of the Lord. You shall be saved. We will plant churches all across America, all across the nations of the earth. As many leaders as God can give us, we will plant them. Provision follows vision. Say that. Provision follows. If you had to have an administrative person who didn't have vision helping Moses, they'd say, "Moses, there's no porta potties to leave Egypt. We have to stay till at least we figure out how 3 million people are going to go number two. Tell me, how is that going to happen?" They didn't. They moved in faith. "Where's the meat? Don't worry. Where's the water? Don't worry. Where's the bread?" Provision always follows vision. The story of coming to Alaska, my wife and I, we were pretty much minding our own business. I was significantly heavier than I am now, and I was training to run a race, a 5K, against my father. Now, he didn't know it was against him, but for me, I've never been able to beat him in a foot race. Certainly a running race, and he's a runner, and I'm a runner, so is my brother Chris, a beautiful bald head on the second row. And in fact, you ran in that race, and you did pretty good. Anyway, <That's not true. laughs> And so I am overweight, but I'm training. I figured my goal was just to beat my 70-something-year-old father. And I'm minding my own business as I'm training for this race. I probably should have curbed my eating, but I figured if I would just run, it would be good enough. But it wasn't, and I lost. My dad beat me, but I did beat a 10-year-old. And I was happy for that. I'm running. I could show you the place in the road in Kalaheo on the island of Kauai. And the power of God fell on me, and I went into an open vision. I was no longer running. I was in this vision. Open vision is when you're awake, not dreaming. When you dream, you're sleeping. Open vision is when you're awake. Your eyes are open. I suppose they can be closed also. But generally, open vision, your eyes are open. I really can't tell you which one. I was just overwhelmed by God's power. I saw the state of Alaska, and I saw this glistening oil over the state of Alaska. And the Lord spoke to me and said, in the same way that there's a pipeline that goes from the North Slope to Valdez and puts crude oil in vessels and goes all over the world, I am pouring out the golden oil of Zechariah onto Alaska, and I'm calling you to be a part of it. Go. And I sat there overwhelmed, and then boom, it changed, and I saw this school. Like a ministry school, a school on fire. I saw the fire of God on this school. And I was shaken to my core. I came back, I told my wife. I didn't even know what Zechariah, the golden oil of Zechariah, I didn't even know what that was. Honestly, it was years until I really figured out what that meant. God miraculously put things together, and we moved up here eventually. That vision is what moved us up here. And we came in 2006, it was 2005, we had the vision very quickly. God moved and opened up a way for us to be here. The whole story of this building is written in an article, and it'll be in the book that God's going to help me finish. I have a cassette tape that I keep in my drawer, and thank you. What do you keep in the drawer for? Because when I got here, now this is very damaged. Can you close up on this? It's very damaged. It doesn't work. It still has a tape in it. It's the first message I ever preached here in Alaska before I was the pastor. The very first time I came, I preached, God's power fell. It was wonderful. And you know how I found this? Years later, when we were doing dirt work around the barn, after we purchased the property for the second time, for those of you who know the story, I'm outside and I look down and I see this thing in the dirt, which hopefully doesn't, is not a picture of what they felt about my message, but I'll tell you what it said to me. It says, I was with you and the word went forth and you're a harvest to the word that you preached. Standing looking at Pioneer Peak. Why are you saying all this? This is part of the vision of the church. You've got to have vision. This is what has driven us. This is what has moved us. That the golden oil of Zechariah will flow. That God will bring a great revival, bring a great awakening. We are not here because of some job. This is not a job for me. This is a calling. We're here on purpose, here with a vision from heaven. We will see sons and daughters come from afar, children from the ends of the earth. God is pouring out his spirit. Alaska, hear the word of the Lord. You shall be. We've been proclaiming it, demonstrating it. It's what drives us. You don't have to wake me up in the morning. I'm up. Why? Because I'm going to see the golden oil of Zechariah flow. Which is really a picture of the house of the Lord. It's a picture of prayer. Zechariah, the rebuilding of the temple, all of that. So beautiful. This text, the key to this text for my message, which I've preached from John 4 countless times, the key to the text is vision. Everybody say vision. Verse 35, don't you have the saying, it's still 4 months until harvest. It was a Hebrew idiom. In prior verses, Jesus had begun to draw analogy between spiritual food and serving God and physical food, which brings strength to your physical body. But here he continues the analogy, comparing the work of reaching the lost to collecting crops. Love the second service. Love the first service also. He compares this picture of bringing in a harvest of wheat to bringing in a harvest of souls. And I've entitled this, The Harvest. And as you look at this text, Jesus in verse 4, now we didn't read that, so I'm going back. In John 4 and 4, in the New International Version, it says, now he had to go through Samaria. Everybody say he had to go. Okay, another way of saying that, he must go, must needs go, King James. It's a picture that he had to go, he must go. It's a picture that the Father has ordained it. It's a picture of a divine assignment. But it's very contrary to the day. It's very contrary to the way that Jews would feel about Samaritans. In 722 BC, a horrible thing happened in that the destruction of the temple, and there was a great upheaval, and they went off to Babylon, and I'm simplifying things, but Israel was just hammered. Samaria was where they mixed these different nations. They took Jews away from there and planted them somewhere else, and they took people from other places and planted them in Samaria. It reminds me of reservations. It reminds me of what they did with Native Alaskans and what they did with Native Americans. Where they took their land and they pulled them out and they said, now that's your land. You're gonna have this now. We're gonna give you this. Like that would be the same as their hunting grounds and the different things. In Alaska, if you don't know the history, I'd encourage you to get in tune with it, because it's why it's been so challenging to see the gospel break in with power. Because how do you trust a people of missionaries and different ones that want to help you, your own family? Where is mom? Teresa. She's, would the rapture happen? Oh, there you are. They took you away, am I right? Yes. What happened? Briefly, tell us what happened to you when you were a child with your mom and all of that.
So they sent us over to Aleknagek, to the Mission Lodge every fall, and back home to mom and dad every spring. So in that, we lost our culture, because mom was our culture bearer, and lost her language, and learned new religions and things that didn't have anything to do with living the life that we needed to live on our own land.
Okay, she went over very quickly. They sent us over. How many of you have your children with you right now? Somebody got kids here right now? Okay. Hi, Minister Arian. Hey, how are you? Just say goodbye to your mother. Go ahead. Say goodbye. Very good. Okay, fine. You're coming with me. Let's go. Okay, you're not. You'll get him eventually. Yeah. And they take him, and they put him in a school. And let me tell you when you can see him. You can see him maybe. Are you feeling this right now? Can you imagine if somebody came and took your babies, took your... You can go back to your mom. Don't cry. It's okay. It's all right. No, that's intense. That's intense. They would come and take your children. I'm going to tell you, the same spirit is in operation now, where they're saying that you can't make decisions for your kids, and if he wants to make a gender decision to make himself a boy or a girl, then he can do that. I'm going to tell you, there's a reason we don't give kids driver's license. There's a reason kids can't vote just yet. There's a reason we don't send them off to war. How would a kid at war do against me? Wouldn't last long. Because they don't have the capacity, they don't have the ability to reason, they don't understand, and yet they've taken, and you said it quickly, but there's great pain there. And they destroyed Alaskan culture. But there's a new gen who's redeeming the culture, who's bringing back the dance, who's bringing back the language. I'm telling you, it's what God's doing. The hand of the Lord, come here, son. Yes, I'm talking to you. Come on. Lift your hands high. The hand of the Lord is upon you. I've called you to leadership.
Say yes. Put your foot forward. I'll provide for everything. The hand of God is upon you. Even a Pastor Tim, come here quickly. The hand of God is upon you, for even in pastoral leadership and marketplace leadership, I'm making a way for you, says the Lord, and the anointing of the fire of the Holy Ghost is upon you. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. So the Samaritans had this mixture of culture. And so then when Israel is restored to their homeland, they hated them. They hated them. There was racism. And they hated them. And the Samaritans hated the Jews. And that so much so that if you were a Jew, you would go around Samaria instead of go all the way through. And Jesus had to go there. And I will tell you this prophetically, that Jesus is visiting the Samarias of our world. Samaria is an unusual place. It really is. It is the place where Abram first arrived to Canaan from Babylonia, from Ur of the Chaldees. That's the same place. Samaria, the Sychar, specifically Sychar, which means intoxicated or drunken. Now, I didn't read this, but it's there. Y'all there in the earlier verses came to a place of Samaria. Verse 5, so he came to the town of Samaria called Sychar. That means intoxicated. It was Sachem. It's the place where Joshua, when he's leading them into the promised land, it's Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, where the blessings and the curses were proclaimed in Deuteronomy 28. Can we go just a little bit deeper? Now, I was telling my pastors and leaders on Friday, we mentor on Friday, you have to get some depth. You know, I mean, John 3:16 is tremendous depth. Please don't get me wrong. Got to preach the gospel. Got to get people saved. But you need to learn the word. Go deep in the word. Study the word. Grow in the knowledge of God. So this is the same place that Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim, it's the same place where the curses and the blessings are proclaimed. Same place. And they called it Sychar because now there's this mixture. It's like they must be drunk the way that they're believing. In fact, I think it's Codex B. I need to go look again, but it's the Pentateuch. It's the Samaritan Pentateuch. The Samaritan Torah. There's two different Torahs. They took the five books of Moses and translated it and gave themselves their own Bible. There's about 6,000 different differences between the two. One of the major differences is where you worship. And that's why she says, your fathers say to worship over in Jerusalem, but our fathers say to worship here. It's fascinating. That's the place where they're at, Jacob's well, plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And he reveals himself to this Samaritan woman, and there's so much in there, so much. Oh, if you knew who it was that spoke to you, he'll give you living water. Living water. He reveals himself to her. She comes at noon. She's basically an adulteress. And when I said plural, so it's not just she committed adultery once, she apparently committed adultery five times. And Jesus, the prophet, she says, I perceive you're a prophet. Really? She's totally blown away and realizes, oh, it's the Messiah. She came at noon because you don't go during the day to meet with the other women at the well whose husbands you stole. I got one amen from one wife over here. Come on, somebody say amen. She was the kind of girl that you make sure your husband stays. You stay far from, you listen. You listen to me. You stay away from her. Of course, we don't have anybody like that here. You've all been delivered. Come on, smile at me. You're like, my God, do you think we have had people that come like that? Yes, you're here. No, I mean, come on, consider what, don't look at me like that. Consider what God's brought you out of. And if you haven't been brought out of it yet, it doesn't matter what bondage, what cursing, what thing you've been through. God's able to set you free. God's able to heal you. God's able to restore you. Don't you look down your nose at somebody who's gotten caught up in sexual sin and be like, oh, I'm just not like that. You just have the same sin of Satan, which is pride. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place and say a hallelujah. Bump your neighbor and say, wow, this is great. Praise the Lord. He reveals your past, basically says he's the Christ, he's the Messiah, and she becomes an evangelist, which is amazing. In fact, I had to repeat it. She left her water jar. What did she leave? Her water jar. What did she come to the well for? Exactly. So why isn't she bringing her water jar with her? I mean, she's not finishing her chore. In other words, she gets gloriously saved. That's what happened. She meets the one who made her. She meets her creator. She meets the Redeemer. She meets the Messiah. And she realizes that living water can come from her, that no longer is she going to be bound. No longer does she have to be addicted to sex sin. No longer does she have to look for love in all the wrong places. And she turns and she runs down to the city and she brings so many people that it looks white. Now, if you understand culturally, most of them wore red headdresses and their clothing were white. Did I say red? White. I meant white. So when a group of people that were coming was white, it could have been that Jesus saw that and say not four more months of fields are white. It could have been as they're coming. It could have been hundreds of people. We don't know. This one who stole husbands now goes to all these people, and instead of people not believing her or running the other direction or looking down their nose at her, and I'm sure there's always people, no matter what happens, they do that. But something was about her countenance, something in the language that she spoke that said, oh, what happened to you? What happened to you? What happened to you? Come, let me show you a man who told me everything I ever knew. My mother, God bless you, Mom. My mother lost her husband a while ago, 2 years ago. It was a horrible death, horrible, unexpected death. I was traveling and I ended my trip and came home to comfort her along. Thank God my brother Chris was here and many of you helped come to comfort her and help her. She went through such grief, and it was so traumatic. I won't tell you the details. That honestly, as brothers, me, my brother Chris, my brother John, we're like, we don't know what we're going to do. Maybe Mom's cracked. Who could handle what she had just gone through? Never mind, in your 80s. A brand new house, in their brand new house that they built for, they were in it for 1 week, in their brand new house that they built, and this horrible, horrible tragedy, and her husband's gone. Not my father, stepdad. So we were praying, and that went on for, our deep concern went on for a number of weeks. I will never forget the phone call I made to you. I call you, and instead of sounding confused and old and broken, I'm hearing the sound of my mother from 20 years earlier. She's like, oh, hi, son. I'm like, Mom, what happened? Because you can hear it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know when somebody talks to you, you can hear, are you okay? There's a look of sadness. How many of you know when you hear somebody's joy, you can hear it? And I said, Mom, what happened? What happened, Mom? I will never forget what she said. She said, oh, son, Jesus came and he visited me and everything's going to be okay. I was like, yes, Jesus came and visited me. Everything's going to be okay. I was like, Jesus, there's something about the name. Demons flee at the name of Jesus. Sickness, infirmity, and grief goes at the name of Jesus. Come on, sanity comes at the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, this lady who was a broken adulteress got impacted in such a way that when she went back to the same men that she slept with, they said, huh, what's going on with you? Come, you got to see Jesus. And they're like, I know what you said about her. I know, but let's go. There's something happening. She becomes an evangelist. The disciples come back from getting hummus, some pita bread and olives. And they're ready to have lunch, right, with Jesus. They got some shawarma. They're ready to have lunch. Jesus, we have shawarma, some lamb shawarma. He's like, yeah, I don't need that. I have food that you know not of. And they're like, huh. Did somebody else bring a shawarma before us? Maybe that lady found it. I mean, they just have no clue. That reminds me of us. God is trying to do something. Jesus is breaking open a new region, and we're thinking about shawarma. Jesus is opening a whole new territory, and we're like, what's for lunch? Do you know in the closing moments of this service that something could happen that alters your life forever? But some of you are so fixed on that going and getting that sandwich or that over at Chepo's and gonna go get that steak that's cooked on a lava rock or whatever it is. Can't stop thinking about lunch. Just think about lunch later. So oftentimes, their God is their koileia, their belly. Their God is their belly. It's your innermost being. Don't be driven by food. That's why it's good to fast. And just put that thing down. Now you got to eat too. But look what Jesus says in verse 34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work. Wow. What is it that satisfies you? We started a new class, Pastor Karen and I, on systematic theology. And we're in the opening parts of the class, and there's kind of an icebreaker thing where you talk about, you know, some of the things that you do and what refreshes you. And so I'm putting in there and worship and word. And do you know what refreshes me? What refreshes me is doing the will of God, not just hearing about it. And if all you do in your life is hear messages like this one and others or read books, and I'm all for reading books, especially the book, but you can read books on intercession, you can read books on outpouring, you can read books on all kinds of things, but until you get involved in actually doing it, you won't actually experience the satisfaction that comes from obeying the will of God, from doing the will of God. And so many people, they go to another conference, they read another book, they wait for the next worship album to come out, and then they can sing along in their cars, but they never really get activated. They never really get moving forward. They never really serve and become part of a local church. I was talking with somebody recently, and it seems to be common. So if this happened to you and you're here, don't be offended, because I'm an equal opportunity offender. I offend anybody during the course of the service. But if it's the Lord speaking to you or rebuking you, then just receive it. I have had more people come to try to tell me, oh, there's a demon here, there's a demon there, this is broken, this needs prayer, lay hands on this. And I've never seen them before. And so my question is, I'm learning to be more gracious. I really, would you pray for me? I just, you know, God's given me a warrior spirit, but you know, you need to be kind, you need to be gracious, you need to be Christ-like, you need to speak the truth and love. Sometimes we speak the truth and there's no love on it. And I'm growing up. Anybody else is growing up? All right. And so I took a breath, prayed for myself. I said, what church are you go to? Oh, And I've heard this over and over. I heard it this morning, but I've heard it hundreds of times. Hundreds. That's no exaggerating. Hundreds. Oh, the body of Christ. I'm like, yeah. What church is that? I'm just part of the body. I said, well, are you just like float around or? Yes, God leads me. Okay, don't bring your word here. You need to get activated. You need to get committed. You need to be in accountability. You need to be in relationship. Church is not just some float in, you know, and begin to talk about your latest prophetic experience. And I'm all for prophetic experiences. I'm all for intercession. I'm all for casting out devils and taking the territory. And I found frequently people that are like that. Their lives are totally broken, by the way. You come, you get activated, you stay here, you get healed and learn to really bring forth the word of the Lord with character that matches it. I How'd we get on that? Oh yeah, serving. Satisfaction and fulfillment never comes by watching, never comes by hearing. It comes by doing in relationship and in covenant. I love the body of Christ, and I love this house, that there's covenant relationships here. Only hearing the word in the end will only cause you to walk in unbelief. Please write that down. You write something down, write it in the margin. Only hearing the word in the end will cause you to walk in unbelief. Because you'll hear it, and you'll hear it, and you'll hear it, and you'll hear it, and it'll become just common. Oh yeah, I've heard that. Oh yeah, I've read that. But then you don't take action on it, so you don't see the proof in your life, and you don't see any fruit. And mostly, I find a church across America is a bunch of unbelieving believers. They believe in Jesus, but there's not really transformation. They believe in the power of the Spirit, but that doesn't really happen now. Happens in a back room. We don't do it like that because we want to have balance in our church, say some. And so they have a back room that never exists, and they're afraid of tongues, they're afraid of interpretation, afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. We are not that. That's not us. Because you have to not just be a hearer, but be a doer. Otherwise, as James says, you deceive yourselves. My food is to do the will of whom has sent me. Verse 35, I want you to say the harvest is here. Can I have keys, please, to help me land this plane, son? Thank you. Receive a vision for the harvest. The first thing is know God's will. Do what? Know God's will. You got to know God's will for your life. Our vision has got to align with the will of God. I said it earlier, a vision that's not centered on the will of God is a false vision. Let me say that again, a different way. A vision that's not aligned with the will of God, not focused on the will of God, a vision that's not focused on the will of God is vain imagination. That's what that is. So your vision, our vision, my vision for my family, and you need to have one for yours, needs to be focused on the will of God. How is that vision going to give glory to God? How is that? Because that is what life is all about. And in the midst of that, it can be growing businesses and flipping houses and all of that, but it's got to have vision at the very center of it. And if it doesn't, it's vain imagination or maybe your own greed. Come on and give me an amen. Amen. Don't delay in your involvement in the harvest. Here's what we're going to do. Ushers, help me out. Pass these out to every single human being. If you're breathing, take one, including babies. If they chew on it, that's fine. They'll be involved in some capacity. Everyone get one of these. Don't delay. Everybody say, don't delay. Oh, Daniel, watch what God does in the youth. I was walking across here, and I felt like he just told me to just make that a point. We got blocked from moving upstairs, but I'm going to tell you something. You can't block something that won't be stopped. It's impossible to block something that won't stop moving. Block and run. Block and run again. But how do you stop something that won't be stopped? The only one that can stop you is you. You quit. What you have in your hand, or shortly will have in your hand, is called Operation Andrew. This is a way that we're going to use over these next weeks to reach the lost. And there's only 5 lines on there. Pastor, you should have put 10. Well, then cut them in half and you use 10. I'm just going for 5. It's a number of grace. It's a good number. 5 people. I want you to write. This is for you. I'm not going to be collecting it. We're not going to follow up on you. It's just a way of saying, I'm going to reach. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast maybe. I'm going to invite these 5 names. My family, your next door neighbor. I'm going to believe God that they're going to come into the church. Let me read this to you. Operation Andrew is a strategy that helps believers impact their city, friends, and coworkers with the good news. All of us know people who need Jesus and are not plugged into a local church. Now listen, I will say, as I pause there, church is important. And anybody that tells you, I love God, but I don't go to church, they've got something wrong. And I have scriptural to back that, which will be another message. Comes in 1 John. Fellowship is crucial to have as a believer. So somebody that says, I go and I have church in the mountains. Yeah, I have church in the mountains too, but you have to have this also. And it'll, listen, church will never just be online. I don't care what anybody says. It's all going to be a cyber church.
No, it isn't. It's impossible. It doesn't match, actually, the biblical mandate and definition of what a church is. All right. So you know somebody that's not plugged into a local church. Let's do our part. Would you say that? Let's do our part by praying for. Would you read this with me? Let's do our part by praying for, inviting, and bringing others to Kings, Alaska so that they can hear the good news and receive a touch of heaven. I commit to pray for, invite, and bring the following people with me to Kings, Alaska. And I'm asking you to do that. I'm asking you to do it, and I'm going to tell you where my faith's at. If you will do your part, we will pray. We will see an additional 500 people added to our building. We're not stopped by our facility anymore. So why would you even make a goal like that? Because hell is real. And that's why we're here. That's why we built this. Talking to Noel DeVries. Where are you, Noel? Noel comes up to me. Fire in his eyes. Man, you can be intense. Which is good because you're married to that mayor. You're both intense. World changers. Been in revival for 30, 40 years. I love you. You've been a source of encouragement since I came. Now we'll never forget just yesterday where you came and got in my face with all that fire in your eyes. And I thought I was going to get rebuked, man. I thought I was about to get slapped down. You said, Pastor. I'm like, yeah. He says, have you read the book 23 Minutes of Hell in Hell yet? I said, yes. I was like, thank God I read it. I was thanking God. Thank you, Lord, you've protected me again. He was that intense. And then I'll never forget what he did. He said, have you read it? I said, I have. He says, hell is real. You're going to get hell out of us. I'm like, stop hitting yourself. Pounded on his chest like that. Chancey was next to me. I said, Chancey, you ready? He's like, oh, I've watched the videos. Listen, every one of you should go watch it. It's on YouTube. Go read the book, 23 Minutes in Hell. Go ahead. Go do it. I dare you. Go ahead. I dare you. We should probably get the book and put it out there. Why would we push and believe for 10,000 people? Why would we believe that by the end of the year, 500 people added here? Would you believe with me? You know who's going to do it? You. You are. You, all of y'all. Everybody said the same thing to first service. Would you use this? Would you use this? Would you pray? Would you believe? Would you bind? Would you loose? Would you even fast? Would you believe that God will use you to bring 5 people in? 400 plus people, 500 in the sanctuary right now. If every one of you brought one person, that's it. We hit it already. Between them and the first service, geez, maybe we should go for a higher number. I'm going to do my part. Would you do yours? Don't delay your involvement in the harvest. Get through that Discover track. Be a part of life groups. We've got life groups that are open. We're going to open 100 life groups. We've got it just about figured out. 100 life groups. Plug in. Don't delay your involvement in the harvest. Open your eyes to see the harvest as I'm closing. It's my second close. Open your eyes to see the harvest. D, the sower and the reaper, verse 36. I am confident that I was not God's first choice. My wife and I were not the first choice. But I don't really care because it's a miracle I'm in it at all. There has been generations that have sown the gospel in this land. God's just called us to come and reap it. He's called us to continue to sow, but he's called us to reap the harvest. Isaiah says that I'll make you into a new sharp threshing instrument. There's a sower and there's a reaper. We're going to continue to sow the seed of God's word and reach the lost, and then we're going to reap. I'm telling you, God is making us into a mighty harvesting machine, like a Holy Ghost filled combine to mow down the opposition and bring in souls and to see people saved. And back to this illustration, say not 4 more months, the fields are white.
the fields are white. While he's saying that, it could be that this crowd is coming up the hill, coming to the well. All these people wearing mostly white clothes, as he said to his disciples, the fields are white. As all a woman, number one. Number two, a horrible past. Number three, a Samaritan. I mean, she had things stacked against her. Don't you try to tell God what he can use and what he can't use. He can use a donkey. He could use you. You say, you don't know my past. Well, you don't maybe know mine. God can use anything, anybody. The harvest is here. If you'll open your eyes, lift your hands to heaven.
Dead things come back to living. I feel my heart beating again. He's where the dead things come back to living. I feel my heart beating.
Oh God, help us.
It feels so good to know you.
Do you remember what it was like to be separate from God? Do you? Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget when you lied in your bed at night and you heard voices and were tormented. Don't ever forget what it was like to be separate from God. Remember the joy of your salvation. Let it move you. Harvest is now. You keep that piece of paper, you write the names in it, you keep it in your Bible, and you bring it to morning prayer. You call the names out before the Lord. John, Michelle, Victoria, Juliet. You name those names before the throne, and you pray, and you just intercede and ask that demon power be broken off, that their ears would be unstopped, that they would come to the knowledge of Christ, that they would come to repentance. Do you remember what it was like to be lost? I know I'm giving you a push, but so oftentimes, you know, the fire is far away from here. So oftentimes we forget what it is like to suffer and to be without God. I'm trying desperately to get you a heart for the harvest, a vision for reaching the whole community. Demon power being broken off this region. A nation coming back to God. Can you say amen across the place? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're not right with God, won't you get right with him in the closing moment now, my final close? Won't you get right with God today? There really is a hell that should be shunned. There's a heaven that should be gained. It's gained by you and for me as well, by believing on the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He reaches to you through my voice, all those online. He reaches to you. And on behalf of the kingdom of God, as his servant, I plead with you to be reconciled to God. Don't do half-hearted Christianity. Don't be a religious person. It's painful and it brings no life. It brings no transformation. It doesn't matter what your past is or where you've come from. Surrender. Surrender to God. Receive his death and resurrection. Come, he bids you to come. Pick up your cross and follow him. So many half-hearted Christians. Let your heart be set afire by an encounter from God. Let your heart be set ablaze with the glorious truth of Holy Writ. Call upon Him, and He will answer you, and He'll show you great and mighty things. Don't harden your heart. He's not the one that took your husband, took your wife. He's not the one that took your baby. He's not the author of death. He's the author of life. Don't harden your heart. So many wounded in their families, they refuse to come to submit to godly authority because they're wounded. But you must learn to submit to godly authority to learn spiritual authority. This is a healthy place. Oh, we blow it, but we repent. It's many times just because charge it to our head and not our heart. I said to somebody, we'll never hurt you here at Kings. And I thought, well, that's not true. We won't hurt you on purpose. Find a place. Give your heart to Christ. First time, make a recommitment all across this place. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, that's me. Lift your hand to heaven right now. You want to get right with God. All the way on this side, lift it high. God bless you. God bless you. Wow. Hands going up on this right side. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. I see the beautiful family over there. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Middle section. Raise your hand high. Get right with God. First time, recommit. Come on. Some of you lost your fire. You need to recommit. God bless you. God bless you. Raise your hand high if that's you. Want to be included? God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Raise your hand in this middle section. God bless you. God bless you. All the way over on this left-hand section. Want to get right with God? Want to recommit your life? Or you want to just come home for the first time? Lift your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stand up on your feet all across this place. I know I've been intense with you today. But sometimes you got to just rattle the cage a little bit, wake you up a little bit. There really is a place called hell. It wasn't intended for you. And then there's a place called heaven. It was purchased by the death of our Savior Jesus Christ and His resurrection. And out of Him flow, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. If you'll receive Him, you'll come to Him. If you raised your hand or you didn't, you know you meant business with God, giving your heart to Jesus for the first time, or you want to make a recommitment, there's going to be lots of other people coming with you. Quickly step out from where you are. Meet me right here. It'll be the last thing we do besides closing and a benediction. Come on, come. Come to Jesus. Come on, come to Jesus. Come. Come on, come. Come on, come. Come on. Come. Come. Come as close to my hand as you can. Come on, come. Don't stop clapping. It's the greatest miracle that could ever happen. To the Father. Holy Spirit. Come on, come. They're still coming. Don't stop clapping. Get excited about people coming to Christ. Come on, there's more that need to come. Jesus. We'll wait a moment longer for you. All right. Online, up front. Here, look at me, y'all. Look at my blue eyes up here. Let me see. Hey. All right. Hi. Up. All right. Listen to me right now. You, when you pray this prayer, you're going to be forgiven of every sin you've ever done. All of it. The Bible says He throws it as far as the east is from the west. That's why it's called good news. Would you pray with me right out loud? Just out loud. The Bible says if with your heart you believe, with your mouth you confess unto salvation. So out loud is important. Pray with me. Repeat after me right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die in my place, to rise again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin and come into my life. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Lift your hands as a universal sign of surrender all across this place. Those on Spotify, Facebook, YouTube, all of our platforms, and those especially up front, in the name of Jesus. Be filled I break every bondage, every chain, every curse by the authority of the name and the blood of Jesus. Be free now. Be loosed right now. Take your place in the army of God. I pray that God would give you an insatiable hunger for the word and for fellowship with other believers. Bless and touch them now. Fill them now with your Holy Spirit. We thank you and praise you for it. Would you put your best hand clap together for all of these guys? All right. Would you entrust us just 3 minutes, all right? This is Pastor Vince and Pastor Tim. They're going to take you out to the back over here. That doesn't sound good. We're going to take you in a side room. It's beautiful. 3 minutes. We want to just pray for you, give you a gift, and help you grow in the things of God. Would you follow them for just a moment? Church, put your hands together for all of these guys as they go. Won't you do it? Come on. Come to... Come on. Hallelujah. It's harvest time. So I run to the Father. Sing with us. Sing. Fall into grace. My heart needs a surgeon.
My soul needs a friend.
All right, get a hold of that Project Andrew card. And if somebody could hand me one, that'd be great. Let me see that Project Andrew card. Let me hold it up. Go ahead, let me see. Let me see. Come on, get your card out. Wave it around like this. Say it's harvest time. Say it. Oh, wow. If we turn it this way, it'll be white. The fields are white with harvest. Come on, let me see that card. The fields are white with harvest. God, I pray that every name that's written down, as we fast, as we pray, as we contend, as we invite them, that they would come and be gloriously saved.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.